Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that time we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. Let us know what that need is, and we'll lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. Once again, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. As we want to pray for you today. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. We just want to lift you up before the Lord. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have together to come before you, to lift each other up before you, to pray for one another and help one another, encourage one another in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we have a good and gracious Father, and that you are. He loves us and cares for us and will help to meet our every need. We know you are a great and mighty God, and we praise you, we celebrate you, we rejoice in you today, because indeed you are worthy of our praise. Worthy to be honored, worthy to be exalted, worthy to be lifted up. So we praise you, we celebrate you, we give all glory to you, and pray all this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And this week we've been looking at some of the things that happened after Jesus' resurrection. Of course, we celebrated his resurrection last Sunday and rejoiced in that. And now we're looking at some of the stories that occur after his resurrection. And yesterday we looked at the road to Emmaus, and today we are going to look to John chapter 20, verse 24, and his encounter with Thomas. Poor Thomas, namesake, gets a bad rap. But let's look at what the word has to say about Thomas. It says in verse 24, chapter 20 of John, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came," right? So this happens after Jesus appeared to the disciples. We talked about that, I think, on Monday. Jesus came, he appeared to the disciples in the room where they were, and we talked about how they couldn't believe it was him because they were so overcome with joy. Well, Thomas wasn't there. "So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe.' And Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So Jesus makes this miraculous appearance once again. Once again, he miraculously appears among the disciples in a locked room. This time for the express purpose of showing himself to Thomas. And we give Thomas a hard time and call him Doubting Thomas. But the fact is, everybody doubted. When they came rushing back from the tomb to tell the disciples that they had seen Jesus, they didn't believe them. You know, they thought they were just hysterical women. Even when Jesus appeared among them, They thought he was a ghost. They didn't know that he had been resurrected until they explained it to him. So Thomas is not the only one doubting. He's not the only one who struggles to believe, though he may say it in a bit more direct manner. Because he's like, unless I see it and touch his hands and touch it, I will not believe it. Right now, Thomas has a little more information than the rest of them. You know, initially it was just the women, but now he's appeared to the disciples. And, you know, all of them are telling him the same thing. That they've seen the risen Christ. And not a ghost, not an apparition, but the real risen Christ with a real body in flesh and in blood. Which I think is why, one of the reasons that Thomas says, I won't believe until I touch the nails, the holes in his hands, and then put my hand in his side where he was speared. Highlighting the fact that he was dead, right? He was clearly dead. Some people say, oh, Jesus was not dead and they didn't understand he was dead. He was clearly dead. The disciples understood that he was dead. They understood what had happened to him. And that's what basically Thomas is saying. Look, he's dead. Dead is dead. Sometimes I think we have this view of people in the biblical times and older times and, you know, a bunch of superstitious goofballs who didn't understand anything and didn't understand the world and, you know, kind of an arrogant, elitist attitude toward them. But the truth is, they didn't believe in people back from the dead any more than we do. They knew dead was dead. They understood that. They may have believed in ghosts and apparitions, but they weren't thinking that people were getting up out of the grave and walking around. And so Thomas just reflects what anybody else would have thought. Of course he's dead. No, he's not coming back. People don't come back from the dead. You know, what makes Thomas stand out is that he's a little more explicit in his unbelief. He's a little more hard-headed in his he says, you know, unless I touch those hands and that wound in the side, I'm not believing. I don't care what you guys say. I don't know what you saw. He probably thought, like a lot of people say today, oh, it was just a delusion. Group hysteria. You know, he's got 10 of his friends here all telling him, look, we all saw it. Dude, we all saw it. You know, you thought you saw it. You guys thought you saw it. But people don't come back. You must have been imagining things. You must have been under a delusion. The kind of rationalistic explanations that we often hear from those who want to cast doubt upon the resurrection of Christ. And in one sense, you could argue that the other disciples represented those who wanted to believe, but couldn't because of, as we talked yesterday, is the joy. You know, they could not believe because of their joy and excitement. It seemed too good to be true. Thomas might be the other side. He's too mired in this world. Too stuck in this world. To believe in the miraculous possibility of resurrection. And notice it takes a week. A whole week goes by. A whole week where these guys are probably bugging him. Thomas, come on. We saw. And Thomas going, I'm not going to believe it. You see him? Where is he now? I'll see it when I'll believe it when I see it. But until I see it, I'm not going to believe. So they've had a week to try to convince him. And for a week, Thomas is still not believing. Which would have made for an interesting week, because what are they talking about? I mean, if Jesus is resurrected, it kind of changes their outlook and their purpose. You wonder how many debates and arguments they had over this. But whatever it was, they're still together. They're friends. And they're all gathered together in the upper room once again. And once again, Jesus appears. And this time directly for Thomas. And this itself is an act of grace. God could have looked at Thomas's hard-headedness and his hard heart and his refusal to believe and said, well, then you're not my disciple. If you can't believe what your witnesses have said, you can't believe what the women who went to the tomb said, if you can't believe what the disciples who saw appear in the room said, then you're not my disciple. If you don't want to believe, fine, but don't. You're not my person. You're not my follower. And he could have just written him off, but he doesn't. He comes back again, this time specifically to appear to Thomas, to give him the opportunity to believe. And so he appears and says, all right, Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand. Stop doubting and believe. God doesn't dismiss Thomas because of his doubt. He confronts it so he can overcome it. He wants Thomas to believe. He wants Thomas to be a part of his work. He's not going to abandon Thomas any more than he abandons Peter, who denied him. And Thomas, of course, when he sees Jesus, just cries out, my Lord and my God. He gives him the opportunity to believe. You know, God doesn't abandon us because of our doubts. And if we have doubts about God or doubts, questions about what he's doing, he's not going to just abandon us, say, well, if you're going to question me, I'm just going to go away. That's not who he is. He will confront that doubt in us. He'll challenge it. But he won't abandon us over it. And he'll call us to believe. Why do you doubt? Believe. And then, of course, as he concludes, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know, most of us aren't going to see Jesus until we die and go to be with him. Most of us probably didn't come to faith through some apparition of Jesus like Paul on the road to Damascus. We come to believe through the witness of others, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We don't see, but we believe. God says we're blessed. And where we do have doubt, God comes to us and he confronts that doubt to help us to believe. Because God wants us to be believers. He wants us to believe. And so when doubt comes in, he's going to come and confront that and help us in that so that we can overcome that doubt and become the people he calls us to be, people who believe in the work of Jesus Christ. So if you find yourself some days like Thomas, don't worry. God's not going to abandon you because of it. He's going to challenge you. He'll confront it. But he'll always give you the opportunity to believe. It is the Prayer Closet, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And a couple in that we want to pray for. First of all, a listener asking for prayer for their friend's dad who's having surgery today to put a stent in. Lord, we do pray for this listener's friend's father who's having surgery today to have a stent put in their heart. Now, Lord, we just pray over them. We pray that everything go well with this surgery. We pray that there will be no problems, no complications, that everything would progress smoothly, that he would make a full, quick, and speedy recovery, Lord. That your hand would be upon him, upon the surgeons and the nurses and all who be involved in this. Lord, as you use the healing gifts that you have given them and work through those healing gifts to bring healing and strength to this man. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. And then another listener writing in. Listener says, due to the pandemic and it costing my job, I was unable to pay my rent, and I'm now being evicted. I like prayers to have God help me find new housing. He has to be out by April the 20th. Lord, we do pray for this listener and pray for the situation that they're in. Lord, your word says that we would never see your people in the streets begging bread, that you will provide for us, that in all these material needs, you will provide. You told us not to worry about what we would eat or drink or wear, but that you would provide all these things, that we seek your kingdom first, and all these other things would be added unto us as well. And so, Lord, we pray to you today as the God provision. We pray for this listener as they're facing this eviction, Lord, that you would provide them the new housing that they need. You would provide it in time. It would be affordable to them. Lord, we pray that it would be even a better situation than the one they're in right now. Lord, we know that you are good and faithful. And so we pray that for your provision in this matter, that you would provide them that new housing that they need, the new place to stay, that it would be clean and safe, that it would be a blessing to them. Lord, that you would show up, your glory and your might and your power and your majesty would show up in this situation to accomplish your good work and to provide for this listener. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you have a prayer request, there's an easy way to get that to us. You can just call 419-389-0893. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's always folks here who'll be happy to pray with you. Or you can email or text your prayer request to us at prayer@yeshome.com. And you can send that anytime. And then go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button to get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Have a great day. Enjoy that beautiful weather out there, and we'll see you tomorrow.